With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, although not this week.
Yeah.
This is Real Spoilers, episode 680, The Uncharted. It sounds like Uncharted. A horror movie when you put a "the" in front of it, doesn't it? The Uncharted.
It does.
Yeah. So, if our audio sounds different, it's because we are in the virtual roundtable, and that's because I had to work. So, I am actually recording this from my office while I oversee a gymnastics event. Pretty exciting.
Are you in the tournament?
Yes.
with that new svelte bod of yours?
Yeah, I'm going to do the first triple lindy knot into a pool.
That's why Tom's been working out and
exercising.
That's
exactly it. Yeah, now we know.
So I guess let's go around the virtual table and everyone can introduce themselves, because I forgot to do that last week.
That's all right. This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. And maybe leave us a review so people that come along after you know that we're worth checking out. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. The group is the best way if you want to interact and with other listeners and us. We're very talkative over there. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you'll share an episode. And because of my crazy weekend, I did not assemble the League of Show Shares, and I realized it as I'm saying it right now. So my apologies, but we will get you guys.
Just paste the link into a mobile browser, then look it up from there. You'll be able to see all of them who shared the episode.
It's really simple when you say it like that. So, but we'll get you guys next week. So my apologies. So, also we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us justify our existence to our wives. That's an unspoken aspect of that when they were like, why do you waste your time doing all this? We can at least point to like that. So I had no idea this was based on something.
I was going to ask you, like, do you have any frame of reference for the video game? Right. You've got teenage sons who this game came out. When did the first one come out, Kevin? 2007.
Oh, geez. I don't even know. It sounds about
right. It's been
right.
A while. It was a PS3 game, right?
PS3, yeah.
But an Xbox house, so...
Oh, okay. Okay. So that makes sense.
So I've never heard of this until someone said... Like, honestly, when I saw the trailer, my first thought was, Like, well, that's refreshing. Like, something that's not based on a previous IP. Like, we haven't seen one of those in a while. And then,
surprise.
Then, like, 2 days before I would see it, somebody's like, no, that's a PlayStation game. And I was like, oh
I wish you would have seen it without knowing that. But I'm still also very curious to hear your opinion, because even if you didn't know that until right up before, you still wouldn't understand the references and Easter eggs and fan service and all that. So I'm curious how it played for you.
Well, there was one part where I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I know this is fan service. I don't
know
what
the guy on the beach.
The guy on the beach. I was like, I don't. My wife and I were both like, I was like, should I know who that is?
He is. His name is Nolan North. Oh, okay.
He's the voice of. He's the voice of the Tom Holland character.
Yeah, Nathan
in
Drake.
The video
yeah.
game. I only because I saw an article as I was scrolling through Facebook. But but it was like so beating you over the head with it.
That
you
was.
Know?
I got to tell you, then, there's a guy behind me that loved it. Loved it.
Good.
He loved it a lot. And I was like, good. God, easy, buddy.
I think it's funny, too, in the article, they were like, are you upset that they didn't use you to play the character? And he's like, no, it's no big deal. I'm 51. And I'm like, Mark Wahlberg's 50. Like, is it like Menudo? You get kicked out of action movies when you're 50? Someone needs to let Sylvester Stallone know.
Yeah, please. That actually does raise an interesting question. How much do you think voice, like, when you have a hit game like that, like, how much do you think a voice actor makes? Like, he doesn't get residuals, right?
I have no idea. I've always wondered that, too.
It's the fourth one in a highly successful video game franchise. Oh. So I imagine by Uncharted 4 that Nolan North was making a pretty hefty sum.
I think he does the voice of Batman in one of the Arkham games, too.
Oh, yeah. Nolan North does a bunch of stuff. He's really good. But, he's great as Nathan Drake. And I think the thing that's most frustrating about the transition as someone who's played all the games to this movie is that Nathan Drake has always seemed like a Nathan Fillion character. Like,
he absolutely is. Yeah.
In the games, it's basically Nathan Fillion. Like, that's the sense
the character
of humor.
The character model is the same, too.
He looks like him, the sense of humor, the sarcastic wittiness, the banter, everything. It's basically like Nathan Fillion was created in a lab to play Nathan Drake. Like,
Nathan Drake was like, the guys that Naughty Dog was like, hey, Nathan Fillion's really cool.
Yeah, I mean,
we just put him in a game
for sure. And clearly the Uncharted games are newer than Nathan Fillion on this earth. But I just mean, it's like if you were going to dreamcast the role and age wasn't an issue, all that, it's Nathan Fillion.
It's Nathan Fillion
but
and Bruce
Nathan
Campbell.
Nathan Fillion's 50. That's the same age as Mark Wahlberg.
That's why they didn't do it, right? That's what I'm saying. So it's a shame because like that's the perfect character. And to me, Tom Holland just isn't that. And so it's frustrating because I think it's so miscast. Tom Holland is just playing Spider-Man in this movie.
Yeah.
There's no change in characterization other than maybe he's trying to be a little cooler, which I also think kind of rubs me the wrong way because like the Nathan Drake in the games and Nathan Fillion have that natural type of cool and they're just sarcastic and funny. And I just don't like Tom Holland, cool guy.
I think it's tough because I think there are moments where he gets it. Right, like there's moments where he's good. To me, Marky Mark is the one that annoyed me the most in this movie.
Yeah, I think Mark Wahlberg would have been a better Nathan Drake, but I do think he's a miscast for Sully. Sure,
I think it should have been Bruce Campbell.
Yeah,
I think we're saying if age is no issue, right? Bruce Campbell and Nathan.
They're not spending this kind of money on to put Bruce Campbell.
Oh, no, they aren't. Would I love to see him get a franchise like this? Absolutely, but yeah.
But it's but Sully is Sam Axe from
Burn Notice.
Yeah, I mean I've been saying it for years. If you look on Twitter, me posting when they announced the movie, and I'm like, if you don't get Bruce Campbell for Sully, like I mean, he wears Hawaiian shirts on the show. Sometimes he has a mustache, like the game character Campbell.
He's graying around the temples. Like
it looks almost identical, right? So it would have been
that show is also great.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very fun show. I haven't seen it in forever.
Yeah, it's
but so I think the casting's wrong. You know, they chose casting for star power. They didn't choose it for to match the source material. I like Tom Holland as Spider-Man, as Peter Parker. You know, I think he's very good in that.
Sure.
But I just don't think I buy Tom Holland as an adult man. I just like he's so boyish in his.
I think where it worked was in the early scenes when he's the bartender and he's kind of using the boy act. to con people. And I like, and it worked, and I feel like it worked there, but then after that, it, that kind of gets dropped. Even when, like, Mark Wahlberg's character, I know it has a name, but I don't care.
I don't care.
but I know that, like, when he finds him in the bar and he's like, oh, you're the guy, and then the task he gives him has really no correlation to the skills he saw him utilize, right?
Like, right.
So why would you pick this guy?
Well, it's because of his brother.
I guess because of his brother. But you also are tasking him with something, so you must think he's good at things. So, but why task? Why the movie should have picked a different task for him to help them steal that key, because that didn't. Why give that super important job to him based on the fact that he could palm a bracelet?
Right.
No, I mean, I think he definitely went there. He went to the bar looking for him because he had clearly worked with Sam, who is Nathan Drake's brother, and he thought that maybe Nathan knew something, which clearly he did, even without knowing it. So we find out later on in the movie that Sam had been mailing postcards to Nathan all the time that they had been apart since they were kids, and Sam basically ran away, and he had kept mailing him postcards, and there were secret clues, because these movies are very much...
They're puzzle-based.
Well, yeah, so basically... the Tomb Raider video games were like a female version of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And then Uncharted is like a male version of Lara Croft, which is a version of Indiana Jones.
This is like that episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000 where they did Hamlet, and they had, it was a TV production from Germany. So they had translated it from English to German. And then so they could show that version in America, they translated it back to English. They didn't use the original script. Yeah. They actually took the German translation
That's
great. Retranslated it back into English.
Right, so exactly. Good. Exactly. So, but I mean, the games are very good. Like, the Tomb Raider games are excellent, especially the new ones. You know, and the old ones were great when they came out. And the Uncharted games are fantastic. These are some of the best games, best storytelling and video games ever made. So I'm not saying that as a knock. It's just that obviously someone loved puzzles and archaeology and Indiana Jones, and they created Tomb Raider with this cool character. And then Uncharted was like, yeah, but, you know, what if we have one for the boys?
He's like, kind of like Han Solo meets Indiana Jones.
I will say that's nice, though, because when it comes to video games, boys are so often overlooked. And
right?
It's
exactly.
Nice that they're reaching out to an underserved demographic. Love seeing that. It's all about representation.
It is pretty great. It is funny, though, like, to Kevin's point, like, there was Tomb Raider, and then there was Uncharted's like, okay, we can do that. And then Tomb Raider came back and was like, okay, yeah, but we can do that again.
Right.
Like, because the Tomb Raider games now look just like the Uncharted games. So it's like this, you know, snake biting its own tail of these national treasure style video games.
Right. So, you know, I think the games are very good. The story in the games are very good. And doing the story justice in a 2-hour movie is a really difficult task. I think that if this was an Uncharted series or limited series where they could really delve into it, spend some episodes or a whole episode on Nathan and Sam's backstory, because in the games you get to play through all these flashbacks and you get to spend way more time, and there's 4 full games and 2 spinoff or side games.
Yeah, right.
So you get to learn so much about these characters, and when they just fast forward through it, I don't think you pick up on all the little stuff that makes you care about the characters. Now, we bring that with us as people that have played the games, but then we're also going, well, yeah, they're not doing this very well, because, you know, look at all the great stories and characterization you have over here. So it just didn't translate. I think what they tried to do with this movie, well, clearly what they did with this movie is they took this popular game franchise that had a story that could be turned into a movie, but they made it for mass appeal, and so they didn't do anything other than the Easter eggs for the fan service for the gamers, but they made it so broad where it's like, yeah, okay, general audiences may not even know this is a game, but I don't know, who are you really trying to, you know, they're maximizing the broad appeal and not actually making it for the people that love these characters. So it's a weird thing.
But can you get pigeonholed into that, though? Like, do you think that's a good idea to make the movie just for the people that like the game, or are you trying to get through that glass ceiling to a wider audience?
you know, maybe not glass ceiling, but I mean, the games are accessible to people, but the problem is not everyone plays games.
Sure.
But,
sure.
I think what I mean is that you lose a lot about what makes the game special and the stories work so special in the games when you try to go to mass appeal. Now, clearly they're trying to sell tickets. So, I mean, yeah, they're going to get butts in seats maybe by making it more mass appeal, but I don't know if they're going to have a quality product that will maybe last as long. Because, like, I mean, the end result of this, I mean, Tom, as someone that isn't familiar with the characters of story at all, you're the general audience that doesn't know this story. Like, would you want to see a sequel? How did this land for you?
It was fine.
Yeah.
Like,
do you like the National Treasure movies, though?
I like the first National Treasure movie.
Yeah, okay.
The first one was a lot of fun, and it was fun to watch them solve those puzzles. And it wasn't fun to watch them solve these puzzles.
Right.
And like, I always hate this. This is a trope you see a lot when they're looking for, like, ancient puzzles. And it's like, oh, we've got this key, and we put it in. And I'm like, what's the mechanics behind this stone masonry that you turn a key and all of a sudden there's hydraulic movements and like, and also it's like your key is just a big stick, like
it's
you
a
could
wedge.
Just
you
cram could, a screwdriver in there and accomplish
it wouldn't
the
know
same
any better
thing. Like if that's, I mean, if that is like the only thing between you and $5 billion, that's where you threw up your hands.
You can't get a guy to cut open the keyhole and open the mechanism. Like, yeah, it's
stupid. The games at least though, right? Like there usually aren't any keys. It's all a matter of like a puzzle you have to solve to get everything to click into place, like a puzzle, right?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there's surely keys throughout the game, but like what Tom's saying, it is stupid when you try to take something that, I think that's also the difference between the medium, right? Like a book or a video game, and then you go to real life, and when you're seeing it happen, and the way they choose to present it is a cross that fits in a hole and you turn it, it's like, whoa.
Or two crosses.
I mean, key has a lot of little ridges on it. There's a reason why keys have to be so specific, but a cross is a big blunt object.
But even then, a key with ridges isn't going to stop you if $5 billion is on the other side
of
that locked door.
I'm like, getting through that wall.
Yeah, like I think maybe we need something a little bit stronger. I know it's also hidden, but they were like, well, we can figure out where it's at, but we just can't without that key, man. We just can't get anywhere.
Now that we're on that path, and I know we're jumping way into it, but I have to say, if you have this $5 billion treasure that is supposedly hidden, but it is in a cave with an opening, you're telling me no one has explored the cave and seen two huge ships with a bunch of light coming down onto them? No one.
There's
has
a giant
that?
Hole, right? Like the giant hole up in the trees, and nobody's like, hey, what's down there?
No one's looked
down. Wait a
down.
Minute. There's
no
two one's, ships.
No one's looked in. I mean, people explore stuff pretty regularly. Like, I don't know. The whole trying to find this stuff that's just right there and not very hidden, I think, was stupid.
Right. I enjoyed this movie. I had a good time at this movie. I agree with everything that, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, no, you guys are spot on. But there was just, like, there were just things, there's something about it that
Well, here's another thing.
What?
I think Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg have no chemistry.
None whatsoever. None. Oh. When Mark Wahlberg is off doing whatever he's doing and it's Tom Holland and,
Sophie Ali.
That works.
Yeah.
Like those two work together. And in the games, like that character is a main point in the games that she is like as good as Nathan Drake.
Yeah. Chloe Fraser is the character.
Chloe Fraser, right. Who gets her own game at one point.
Is it called Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, she does look just like the character, the actress who played the Tomb Raider in the Tomb Raider remake. But yeah, like I totally agree. Is like anytime I was like, Mark Wahlberg's a
Their like, jokes do not
it doesn't
land.
Work.
The two of them back and forth have no chemistry. They're doing the stupid Rock and Statham thing. This whole you have to butt heads with each other. You know, I don't know.
Okay with butting heads, but it's like there's no like Tom Holland is a significantly better actor than Mark Wahlberg, and he's giving a significantly better performance than Mark Wahlberg, who I feel like
I think you could make the argument that Ed Wood is a significantly better actor than Mark Wahlberg.
I can make that argument. Yes, you're right.
I like Mark Wahlberg. He can be good.
I do too, but like
he's fine. Yeah. Like it's, but I don't know that I would call what he does acting, right? Like, I mean, he just
comes
here's another
set.
Role. starring Mark Wahlberg as Mark Wahlberg. And he might, oh, is he Sully this time or is he Fitty?
But I don't know.
You know, like.
I think the problem I'm having is I think Tom Holland is Tom Holland in everything he's in. I'm just sick of him being, he just looks like boyish Tom Holland in every movie. Cherry, when they put a mustache on him, like. You know, it doesn't change that he's Tom Holland.
I don't think Tom Holland has a choice. That's just how he looks.
No, I
he's
know,
always
but I
gonna
mean,
look that way.
But the roles that he's taking, the way he plays each character, I feel like he is becoming just. You want Tom Holland in something here? He'll give you a Tom Holland. So he doesn't exactly disappear into a role himself.
That's fair.
No,
that's fair. But I do think
there's lots of actors that. I mean, Chris Pratt doesn't disappear into a role, with the exception of a few very notable films. Tom Hanks doesn't disappear into a role. But let's kick it really old school. Jimmy Stewart, Humphrey Bogart, they don't disappear into roles.
Yeah.
They're basically doing the same thing over and over again. Jimmy Stewart maybe not doing the same thing, but he doesn't. It's within a spectrum of Jimmy Stewartness. He's not, you know, he's not Dustin Hoffman, you know?
Sure, yeah, I guess it just depends on how much you like them. And I've never had any problem with Tom Holland. It's just that it's starting to be where, like, they're casting Tom Holland. It's kind of like The Rock. I like The Rock a lot, but every single Rock movie and thing has become the same thing over and over. And I'm getting sick of The Rock, and I'm kind of getting sick of Tom Holland. I just want something different.
That's interesting, but, like, that's an interesting statement because we see The Rock a lot more than we see Tom Holland. I feel like we're seeing him a lot right now because he has the number one. It's not number one, is it? Did Spider-Man become the number one grossing movie of all time?
It's number three.
Okay, so it just beat Avatar, right? Isn't that the deal?
No, number three domestic, I think.
Is that what
it
is?
It's not worldwide. Yeah.
Okay. So, but he had this massive movie, right? And he's all been all over the place. And I honestly think if I were who put this out? Oh, Sony. I'd have been like, can we space this out a little bit?
You can always tell a Sony movie because everyone is using a cell phone you've never seen in real life.
Oh, the way they put their technology.
Their instant messaging is very different.
Remember,
never iPhones, and it's and their phones are like squared off, and so as soon as I see the phone, I'm like, Sony. This is a Sony movie, like you, because I'm like, what the hell phone are they holding?
That's really good.
They're in the Sony verse where people actually buy these phones. Like, I can't imagine.
Otherwise, they just
in most movies when an actor's using a phone, I'm like, it's probably their own phone, right? Like they just got it in their pocket and they're just like, I'll just use my own phone. All phones pretty much look the same. But in a Sony movie, they have to be like, wait. Like, you have to use this other phone. That's a special order because you can't buy it at Verizon store.
Right.
Do they have one that is, like, on the level of the Galaxy or the iPhone?
Oh, yeah.
I'm presumably.
Yeah, they have expensive
phones. But
interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. It's like the Sony Xperia, I think. And, Joe, let's figure out what this treasure hunt is about.
Yeah, so this one's, I mean, I do think this is fairly simple. Tom Holland's working behind a bar, and he's doing... Like Tom said, like low level grifts.
Start with the brother, though?
Yeah, it starts with the flashback and the brother.
Yeah. I guess it's the cold open of him.
Oh,
of
actually,
him falling
it opens
down
with the big action
falling
scene
down
that
the
you're
crates.
Not going to get to for an hour.
Which I will say, that's right out of the game. Like
that's
a playthrough of a game that I've done a billion times in the Uncharted series. Which is like I got it. Ruben Fleischer directed this. He did Zombieland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he did Venom, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the less said about that, the better. So, like, Ruben Fleischer, I think he did Gangster Squad, which is kind of a deep fried taco for me. Like, I don't think that's a bad movie. I enjoy that movie.
Yeah.
Is that the one they had to pull after the Batman shooting or what? Where?
Oh, did they?
That sounds familiar.
It's got I almost said Ryan Phillippe. Josh Brolin and Ryan Gosling and...
That's another... Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling were in that one, too, together. Yeah.
Yes, and...
that's the one with the really good tracking shot in the beginning? Or
yes.
Is that the other? Yeah.
Yes.
That's good.
Who is it? It's got Sean Penn. Sean Penn. As Mickey Doyle.
That's the one, because there was a scene where they actually burst through a movie screen in a theater and start shooting people.
Oh, wow. Oh.
And it was, and it came out, it was, and like it was supposed to come out just a few, like a month or two after the, was it the Dark Knight that had the shooting at it?
It's, yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's, you know, there are so many mass shootings. You know, they're like trading cards, collect them all and trade with your friends. But so they like, and they had to like pull it. It was in the trailer. They pulled it and then cut that scene.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. But so like the dude, he can direct. He can direct an action movie for sure.
Well, he's a great visual director. Is the thing. I mean, right when you saw Zombieland, it starts off with all the on-screen visuals and the comedy of that and
everything. That whole opening credit
sequence. Yeah. I think he's a really good visual director. I think he's kind of like a Zack Snyder in the way to where the visuals, I mean, the guy knows how to make an interesting looking movie. But I don't know as far as the scripts go and the stories sometimes. I mean, look at the Venom movies, both of them.
Yikes.
Look at this movie. You know, I think he knows how to do some cool visual stuff. And when he gets to play with things like the plane cargo unloading and all that, that does, like Joe said, look straight out of a video game. I liked that. And for me, about 2/3 into the way of the movie, that's where it started to pick up for me. And I'm like, okay, now we've got something. But man, the first two acts of this movie are a snooze to get through.
Yeah, I don't like
it. Was like they didn't have enough money, and so they backloaded all the action scenes. Yeah. So you would leave excited because the first like hour and 15 of this, it's basically a poor man's National Treasure. It's a heist movie,
right?
And then and which I think is why they do that cold open with him on the plane, is because if they didn't like the flash forward cold open, because if they didn't do that, you wouldn't have any real action in this movie until like almost an hour and 15, hour 20 into it.
Well, I guess that's true.
I guarantee that's a great point. 100% they showed that in the beginning to get you excited for it, because there wouldn't be much other than, you know, they run around inside of a Papa John's, that not product placement or anything, but
around
a Papa John's and get stuck in a flooded cavern. Like, and that's not that exciting. You know, they're just like, oh, I can't breathe. There aren't that many set pieces like chases or fights.
Right.
They're just,
right,
you know.
Right.
Right. I've noticed this more and more with action movies, that if it starts like in the middle of a scene that, and then it backs up and says like 2 weeks later, it means like that's code for you're not going to have any action for at least an hour. They tagged it on to the beginning to be like, oh yeah, this is great, this is coming, stick with us. You know,
please stick with us.
Yes.
We should start doing it on this podcast. That's what we should start doing. Just front loading it and then hoping for the best by the end.
I think we do.
I think we do. That's a good point. That's a fair statement. But I will say that like this whole scene with a young Nathan and Sam is right out of the game as well. I think it's out of Uncharted 4, where a young Nathan is running around escaping from an orphanage and doing, but this whole thing where these two brothers are trying, I will say like his brother's kind of an idiot when he's like, this map is priceless. And then he just tries to open the case with a knife. And it's just like, yeah, you dunce. It's going to set off an alarm. What were you? Why did you think just the knife without cutting the power to anything would allow you to just break the glass?
Right.
At that point.
Yeah, I don't know if you're supposed to be such a smart treasure hunter type specialist in this field. I mean, I know they're young kids. I mean, you know, whatever, teens. But I think that was a little silly as well. That's the thing about this movie, though. That's what I mean. The script just doesn't, even if you try to suspend your disbelief for these characters, a lot of the writing is sloppy like that, which takes you out of the fun of it.
Yeah. And again, there was a guy behind me who just loved it and like letting out these laughs. And I was like, do you work for the studio and you're trying to get the rest of us to laugh? Or are you actually enjoying this movie as much as you are? So then we flash, you know, that Sam is going to get arrested and he runs away and gives Nathan the necklace with the ring that becomes that's a part of the game world.
It's a huge part of the game.
I think in Uncharted 3, maybe. So then we flash to Tom Holland in a bar doing the bartender. Like, I do like that he's not good at it, which is kind of Nathan Drake-esque, where like he's trying to flirt with the girl and giving her, like, you know, these history lessons, and she wants nothing to do with it. And he was like, okay, cool. I will say, I didn't, the way I thought that bracelet scene was going to go was the goal was to get her to come back. Right? Like, he was going to play it cool. She's going to come back. She's going to lose her bracelet. She's going to come back to the bar. Tom Holland's going to find it. And that was, like, his in to, like, get her to bed.
Yeah, no, but you're writing a much better movie for them. No, he was just trying to steal a bracelet. That's all that was.
Like,
they spent 10 minutes on this for nothing. He was just stealing a bracelet.
But then they go to his apartment, and I was like, why are you trying to steal that bracelet, dude? Like, that's a nice-ass apartment. What are you doing? You're fine. So we're introduced to Marky Mark in this part where Sully is like, you know, he calls him out on stealing the bracelet and he steals it back. And Tom Holland breaks into Marky Mark's apartment and starts going through all of his stuff. And now Marky Mark's apartment does actually resemble Nathan Drake's will come to look like in the games.
Well, was there a PlayStation playing Crash Bandicoot in it?
No, it was playing God of War.
It wasn't just like it.
So this is where they decide, you know, Sully reveals that
he was working with Sam.
Nathan's brother. He was working with Sam, so that entices Nathan to join the team. They're going to steal this key, and then, which I thought was a decent sequence of Tom Holland, like, swinging again. This, you're right, this was very Spider-Man, of him, like, swinging from the lights and, you know, flipping off that's something. The other thing about this game is, like, the game itself is the one that started to use, like, parkour, where Nathan, the character Nathan Drake, can do some certain jumps or, like, rolls over a box very smoothly, or, like, jumps up onto a ledge. He did a lot of it, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't call it full-on parkour, but, like, there was a little bit of, like, he would kind of, like kind of bounce off the side of the wall a little bit or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd make like, big jumps.
And Tom Holland is a gymnast. I mean, he can do all that stuff.
Totally.
So that was what was great. When he was cast as Spider-Man, you saw all the videos of him doing gymnastics and backflips and stuff. Like the guy, I think he showed up to a Spider-Man screening and did a backflip in front of the theater. Like, the guy is athletic for sure.
He's the Ozzie Smith of Spider-Man.
He is.
That's true.
It's what he's known as.
That's what he's known as. That's exactly it. Yeah, we're gonna try to get that working here from St. Louis, Missouri.
So basically, I think it's easier, instead of going through the whole thing, let's just say what the point of this movie is. So there's a treasure. There's
about $5 billion
in
gold.
Who is it? Magellan.
Magellan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when Magellan went from Spain to go try to find treasure and do that whole thing and what is it, circumnavigate the globe, he found this treasure along the way and never made it back. And so the whole point is they're trying to find this treasure. And so you've got competing entities. You have Antonio Banderas is a bad guy who his family has been trying to find this fortune for all this time. And then you've got Sully, who is treasure hunter, just trying to get the money. And then you have Chloe, who is also, I guess she's behind the scenes working for Antonio Banderas, but
yeah.
Also, you know, we find out later, but that's a reveal in the movie. But, you know, her and Sully have competed for different treasures in the past. So you have these three entities in the start that you think are looking for this treasure. And so because Sam was working with Sully on it before, he knew a lot about the treasure and was sending Nate postcards. And so Sully thinks, well, this kid, maybe he has the same talents as his brother. Maybe his brother sent him something. Maybe he knows something. So he enlists him to go get one of two keys that will unlock the puzzle that will get them to the treasure. That's the short version.
Right.
So Chloe Frazier actually has the other key, which is it's a cross, a bejeweled cross, and the other one is up for auction.
I think it's bedazzled. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Right. It was bedazzled. And so they go to an auction house who is auctioning off the other key cross.
Yeah, right.
And so Antonio Banderas is there bidding, and Nathan is supposed to steal it before he can win the bid and then go get the treasure. So that's kind of the whole setup of the story of who's going after the treasure and why they're doing it. And then there's this whole side story where, like, Antonio Banderas has a really old father that still runs the company, and he's getting ready to give away and donate all of their wealth, kind of like a Bill Gates type thing. Like, you know, giving away all the money. Sorry, son. And Antonio Banderas, obviously not happy with that, says, hey, give me a chance. I'm going to find this treasure. And the dad's like, no.
It's going to slit your throat.
Yeah, Antonio Banderas is like, oh, well, you don't have much longer to live, shorter than you thought. And so anyway, so that's the setup. And the whole rest of it is just treasure hunt and Sue.
Yeah,
it's... You know, my mind goes to weird places in movies when they bore me. Yeah. And so when he slits his throat, like, I just, like, let's have a philosophical discussion. Is it less of a sin to kill somebody who's really old? Like, you're robbing them of less time.
No.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, all sin is a spectrum, right? Like, shoplifting isn't the same as, like, pedophilia, right? So
I mean, the eyes of the church, I think it's more than
right, totally. Yeah. It's, but if you kill somebody who's like 100 years old, like, you only cost them, like, I'm just saying, 20 minutes.
Well,
right?
here's the question though. Like, okay, what is their quality of life at 100? Like, are they still, like, kicking around? Are they still doing their thing, or are they like an invalid in a chair?
Are you saying Antonio Banderas did him a solid?
I'm throwing it out there that, like, maybe it's not as bad as you think. So, yeah, like, you look at Art Linkletter, who lived to be, like, 97, and, like, he was still doing great, at, like, right to the very end, you know? But then, some people are, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. This is like our Spotify exclusive. I'm just asking questions. I'm just starting a conversation. Is it okay to kill really old people? I think it's just a question. It's just not, it's not an answer. It's just a question.
If this can get us on Spotify for that amount of money, I'll ask these questions all day.
We'll do it for a tenth.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just to throw it out there, I'm going to answer, no, it is not okay. Okay, just putting that out there.
Kevin, I just, like, I don't mean to be politics into it, but you're a lib.
I was going to say cucktard, but, you know.
Yeah.
So
I think this belongs on the Liberty Truth Pizza podcast. That's where this goes.
So there's a couple action sequences. This is one that Joe talked about. He's swinging from chandeliers or the chandelier.
Yeah. Which is fine. Which is fine. It's a good sequence. Yeah. Tom Holland, I think, is very good at the physical stuff.
Yeah, he's a good Spider-Man. You know,
he's a good Spider-Man.
Better be.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they end up, like, he has to make a distraction. They get the key at this point. They outsmart Antonio Banderas and his bodyguards or his hired guns. They get out of there with the key, and it turns out that we have to go meet with this contact in Rome, right? That's where they're going?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the contact is Chloe. And... they have a. I liked this chase scene. I thought this was good, where Tom Holland is chasing, like, to both of their credits, he's chasing. Chloe ends up stealing the one cross, and Tom Holland, they have to, like, chase her across rooftops and chase her. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And I do like the calling Marky Mark out because he's too slow, mm-hmm. and he can't keep up with these two 20-something people, where Marky Mark is, you know, 50.
Because he's so out of shape.
Right. Yeah. I will say they do give him a little bit of a paunch in this movie, because Sully is, like, an older guy with, like, you know, he's an older guy. So he has that in the games, at least, he has that body of an older man who looks like he was in shape at one point, but he's just gotten older.
Right. Where Mark Wahlberg is just in shape
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's so Mark Wahlberg, if $15 million, you get the paunch. $20 million, you get the in-shape Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
Yeah, you get the Calvin Klein Mark Wahlberg. Yeah,
I'm right. Yeah.
So they end up realizing that they can't do this without each other, but nobody in this movie trusts each other, right? Everybody's like, they're all going to screw you over at some point.
Rightfully so. Holland,
Nathan Drake is the only one who kind of has, like, the, I trust you, Which we, we get to the end and he obviously doesn't trust somebody at the end.
But Nathan Drake is not in this world, right? So he grew up interested in treasure maps because of his brother, and then that left, and then he became kind of just a pickpocket type of kid. But he's not a treasure hunter. Sully and Chloe and Antonio Banderas, all these people, they will screw over anyone if it means that they get their cut of the treasure. And so Sully and Chloe, I think, are completely in the right to not trust one another, right? Like,
sure,
those characters
sure.
are not trustworthy.
I also kind of think, like, when you get to a certain amount of money, like, do you need $5 billion?
That's the question. I mean, that's the question with all mass wealth like that.
Give me one of them. Yeah. That's all I need. I just need one.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was having the same thing. I was like, why don't you guys just each take a boat? It's $2.5 billion. Like, you're going to be okay. Why are you going through all this? Like, that's just
grab one of those thingies with all the gold in it and call it a day.
I think my favorite part was the fact that Tom Holland grew up in this old-timey orphanage run by nuns, the kind you used to see back in 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, right. I mean, it makes sense in the games, right? Because Nathan Drake is probably in his late 30s, early 40s, so he would have been in an orphanage in the 80s.
Yeah, he was an adult in 2007.
Not in 2010.
That's the thing. I think Tom Holland plays a good young Nathan Drake. I wish they would have made this a young Nathan Drake story, which I guess is what they're retroactively trying to do. But I mean, instead of doing the flashbacks and having it be some other kid, make this whole thing a flashback and have it be Tom Holland. Like, I wouldn't mind those young adventures of him growing up.
The early adventures of Nathan Drake?
Yeah, because I think Tom Holland's got the youth to him. I think he would play a good young Nathan Drake. And then give us someone like a Nathan Fillion or whoever's the in-between of age that, you know, they could play a little bit more of an... Like, he's supposed to be kind of like Indiana Jones. And to me, Tom Holland just doesn't have the it factor when it comes to, you know, never do you watch him hunting treasure and go like, man, he's like the next Indiana Jones. You know, it's just
Get that kid that was Han Solo.
Right. Like, he did a pretty good job of, capturing that Han Solo Indiana Jones spirit. Something like that. But anyway.
Yeah. So they there's a big trap, like Kevin said, where
Papa John's.
Papa John's, man, that was weird.
Not since Mission Impossible have we seen such great use of a Papa John's.
Does Sony own them too? Was there a Nathan Drake inspired pizza, like the Cecil Whitaker's, like Batman pizza that doesn't look like a bat?
the Little Caesars, you mean?
What did I say? Yes, Little Caesars. Yeah. Cecil Whitaker's. That's a regional reference. Thing. Never mind that.
Cecil Whitaker's and the Batman are teaming up.
Man, Cecil Whitaker's wouldn't be like, yeah, man, we'll make anything into a bat. What do you want to do? Toast raviolis is a bat? Done.
No, Cecil Whitaker's was doing the Catwoman with Halle Berry tie-in. Yeah.
I got to tell you, they would have loved that too. Anything.
They're more like Meteor Man.
We get the reveal that Chloe is actually gonna, she turns on Nate. They find the these three big columns after they almost get drowned.
Well, he saves her life. She drowns and he saves her.
Right.
And
he's a good guy.
Yeah, and she is still such a jerk that she smashes
him in the head.
Yeah.
Well, she says something. She's like, you know, you don't know who you're working for. Did he tell you about Sam? And of course, now we're led to believe that Marky Mark got Sam killed. So Chloe turns on him, smashes him in the head, and takes off. Did she get whatever? There was something in there that he picks. Oh yeah,
yeah.
It was the map. That's right.
Yeah. And she took the keys with her. I think she pulls them out of the door. Both the keys. One of the puzzles was that the key wouldn't fit and there were not two holes for it. They found out you had to line up the key and make it into a ladder type of a look because it has rungs on it.
Yeah,
and
one in the pink, one in the stink.
Where's the Moroccan?
Now that's a puzzle I can get behind. Now,
literally,
you got my interest. That is Uncharted. At least one of them.
Oh my. So
yeah, so the Uncharted. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So she takes the keys, takes the map, and gets the hell out of there.
Right.
I have to say my wife wanted me to point this out, that no woman would wear the same leather pants for 4 days in
that's
a row.
That's a fair statement.
Like
that's hilarious.
Not a thing.
That's true. Like,
She's like, she would be incapacitated for the rest of the movie by the yeast infection that she could get a job at that Papa John's making their crust.
God. All right, please, Joe, tell more of the plot, please.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
move
sure.
Forward.
Does that character ever wear something that she wore in the game, though?
Go.
Does she ever have a...
I think they all kind of wear similar things
Nathan
to what they
Drake
wear in the game.
Definitely does. By the end of the... He's definitely like...
Well, at the end of the movie, Tom the Tag, did you stay for after the credits?
Is it after the credits?
There was the thing right as it ended where it was like you see the brother in a prison and he's like, there's...
No, is there something after the credits? I didn't know that.
No, there's an after credits scene.
Oh.
Oh, no, I was not staying till the end of these credits.
Well, I'll tell you at the end then. No, just remind me at the end.
Interesting.
Then.
Okay.
There's a scene where when Tom Holland kind of grabs like a shoulder holster and throws it on, and like that's like the final piece.
That's his look.
That's Captain America's shield for Nathan Drake is the shoulder holster.
Yeah.
So this, Tom Holland basically.
But for fans of the games, it's cool to see the character to come together. I do like
to look like he should look.
It's natural in the movie. I mean, he just takes some guy's guns and a holster. So, like, if you're not familiar with the games, it just looks like he's kind of doing that. But I think it is cool to have that look.
I will also appreciate. We always kind of joke about how in action movies nobody gets dirty anymore, and the shirt that Tom Holland does wear but is like covered in smut and smudge and dirt and all kinds. I was like, all right, well, at least they're, you know, kind of John McClane-ing it a little bit.
Right. How do the two of them get with Chloe stealing all the stuff? How do they get to the treasure? I can't even remember.
So he turns on, not he doesn't, but Tom Holland calls out Sully and says, where's my brother? Mm-hmm. What happened? And he basically says, your brother's dead. And I used you to get me to here because I figured you would know something. Mm-hmm. And Nathan just says, F this, I'm out. Like, you're a terrible person. I'm out of here. Chloe ends up, we find this, like you said, Chloe, we find that Chloe was actually working with Antonio Banderas the entire time. There's a big scene on the airplane where, that's how it happens. Nathan goes back to Sully and says, look, I'm doing this, but I'm only doing it for my brother. You can kiss off for all I care. Once we're done, we're done. They get on the airplane
Just sneak on the airplane because they're going to get the treasure. They follow them and get on there.
Yeah, we get one of probably the least violent throat slits I've ever seen in a movie, where the head hired honcho for Antonio Banderas slits his throat, and turns out that she was.
We haven't mentioned that Tati Gabriel.
She's good. I like. She was good. She's
pretty
a good
cool,
like
yeah.
heavy.
She's the big bad, and she's working for him, and then is like, but I want the money, and betrays him, which was a pretty good twist for, you think, Antonio Banderas, who killed his dad, and he's been running this whole operation. You're not thinking that he's going to die before the end, so that was a good twist.
But he does, and after watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that's pretty lame. That is, woo. Nathan and Sully, like, we find out that they're hiding on this, and this is where we flash back to Tom Holland, like on the crates that have been like shot out of an airplane. Pretty good action. Pretty good. I like the sequence a lot. I think it's tough to do airplane action sequences, so those are always fun to see.
They're easier though when you completely ignore the laws of physics.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
None of it could ever happen.
No, it would never happen in real life. I think as close as we get is Tom Cruise on the side of a plane in one of those Mission Impossible movies.
But I have to say, though, that in the games, it works very well. And in this movie, it's inspired by games. I mean, that's one reason why people say that the game adaptations don't always work. But for what it is, if you suspend your disbelief and say, hey, we're on a crazy treasure hunt adventure or whatever, like, I had fun with the cargo plane sequence, right? Yeah. I think that it's goofy. It doesn't make sense. But, you know,
I did, too.
Yeah. We're at a big, dumb movie. And to me, that's where this movie really starts, and literally, because it's where the movie starts, but this is where I started to have fun with the movie. I'm like, okay, they're jumping from cargo to cargo, they're driving cars out of planes, they're shooting at each other, they're diving in to, you know, find this treasure and stuff. I mean, I really wish they would have done a little bit more of the treasure hunting. Like, if there was some kind of a backstory where you see Sully or Nathan doing treasure hunting and then it goes to this adventure, I just wish there was a little bit more of that rather than holding it all to the end, because by the time you get there, I think you're just tired.
It's a little drawn out.
I also got to say, how high are they flying? Because they fall
pretty high.
Awfully long time.
Yeah,
they were like Snoop Dogg high.
they were pretty high up there. That's true.
Does he do that? I heard some reports before the Super Bowl, but I wasn't sure if that was confirmed.
He was just smoking a cigarette. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, totally fine. I love people are just like, this is unbelievable.
He was smoking an edible brownie. That's how high he was.
Yeah, <that's> exactly.
So they're in the Philippines.
This is the scene where like they walk. Nathan and Chloe walk up on the beach, and where we see Nolan North on the thing. As soon as he's, you know, I never knew what that guy looked like. But as soon as they're like focusing on that guy and he opens his mouth, I was like, oh, okay, that's fine.
The guy behind me
loved it. Yeah. I could close my eyes. I'm like,
good,
that's
but that's what, it's there for the fans. Like the only reason that scene exists is to appease the super fans of the games. And so, you know, it works for what it is.
And then they steal Sully's credit card. They get a pretty nice hotel. And he starts going through
the postcards.
The postcards. He's like, these have to mean something. These have to mean something. Finally,
he has this lighter the whole time throughout the movie that doesn't work, but his brother gave it to him, right?
He
left it for him or something. And so it doesn't work. And then he finally gets it to work at some point in the movie. But that was,
and
like
it turns out
thing.
That he used invisible ink on the postcards, and he puts it all together. And I do like this where Nathan has figured it out.
The Zippo lighter is like the opposite of a product placement,
right?
It's like clearly a Zippo lighter, and it doesn't work at all.
Yeah, that is weird.
Just put some lighter fluid in it. Like, but those are really easy to fix.
Yeah.
The beginning of the movie in that flashback, we see the brother left a note with invisible ink that said like, "I'll come back for you" or something like that.
Right.
And so that's kind of the callback. He tries it on the postcard. He gets the secret coordinate or whatever where the treasure is. So they end up chasing
but I do like that he tricks Chloe. He leaves bad coordinates. I thought that was a good little move.
No, that was great. If you can't trust people, leave something out in the open that's fake, and if they screw you over, they get screwed, and if they don't, it never happened. Yeah, I like
and
that.
And it's not like he didn't like hurt her physically, right? Like he just kind of, if you're gonna trust me, you're gonna leave this here. If you're not gonna trust me, you're gonna go. Yeah. And of course, she goes.
He did nothing wrong. She's the only one that did anything. Right. You know, like, it's great. So she's off on a wild goose chase. So we don't see her until the end of the movie. That's how they get rid of her. And then the bad
guys are going in the wrong direction too. Until they see him, they're in the same place, close enough where they see Nathan Drake zipping along the ocean. They're like, hey, where's he going? Follow that guy. And of course they do. But he ends up finding the two ships, and he finds all the gold, and Sully's already there.
Are you talking about two ships down below the big hole with the sunlight shining on them?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Or the two ships in the cave where the other bad guy ship could just drive right into because it's that accessible?
No, they blew it up.
Oh, they blew it. Okay.
Yeah, they blew it up.
Well,
yeah.
My bad. They were hidden. I'm sorry. I take back everything I ever said.
It's like the scene in Moana. Where I was just like, wait a minute, these ships have been here the whole time, and okay,
yeah.
So they find on the goal. There's a pretty good action sequence.
Okay, how about
on
their
the
plan
boat
to get the ships out?
Two plan straps, makes no sense.
Two straps on a helicopter to take out huge ships.
Wouldn't those ships just fall apart as soon as you move them?
Yes,
wood would just fall apart.
If you're talking about physics, there's no way. Okay, first of all, how did they get the straps under the ship that's like sunk into the ground? Second of all, how did it lift up without, you're right, it collapsing?
You'd have to use it like a cradle, right? It would have to be like a mesh cradle to get underneath the whole thing.
Or you'd have to have 100 straps. It would literally break in two. When it lifted up, it would just go into a V. But anyway, so
it doesn't here.
But if you can suspend your disbelief and remember you're in a silly action video game movie, the helicopter chase sequence is pretty cool.
Pretty good. Pretty
it's
good.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was well done.
And like Tom said, they left all their budget till the end. That's why this movie is so slow. And when you get to the airplane scene the second time, two-thirds through the movie, this movie is on. Like, this feels like an Uncharted game with all the action.
Yeah.
You know, and I really wish that we got more of that. And hopefully if they do make a sequel, I don't know, you know, it only made like $45 million opening weekend, which
can't be good.
It isn't great. But if they do make a sequel, hopefully they'll be able to get more money for more action sequences.
Yeah, maybe Netflix will pick it up.
But a big chase scene, the bad guys.
I will say that airplane scene, I did like how when you go back to it later in the film, you see it from a different perspective. And so, like, the boxes that are falling at him now, they're not just falling. Like, you see her pushing them out. Like, so I thought that was a clever spin on going back to a scene. It didn't just repeat. You saw it from a different angle. So I thought that was a clever way to freshen that up.
Yeah, I would agree.
They hid all the stuff. You see at the beginning of the movie a car drive out at him. And you don't know who that is. You presume it's a bad guy trying to kill him. And we find out later it was Chloe trying to escape the plane. And
what was her plan? What was her plan in that car? What were you going to do when that car was skydiving through the air?
I guess just not get shot in the head. I guess that's...
How did you think you were going to survive that?
No, there was no plan. It was just to try to get out of here without getting shot. I mean, literally the bad guys were going through with rifles shooting at people.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You know? Yeah, that's a good point. So they find the gold. There's a massive chase. Sully, who we find out earlier in the movie was a helicopter pilot in the Navy, ends up taking control, but like smashes through. I thought those were all fun. There's a good cannonball.
I like how they don't show Mark Wahlberg climbing up to the helicopter. So you've
He's
got the
it.
Boats and you've got straps on them, and then you have a huge chain going up to a helicopter. Sully would have had to shimmy his way up a chain and climb like way up to a helicopter while flying. You know, in
Correct.
Motion. And I like how Sully looks up and he's like, I got to get up there, you know, basically. And then they cut to him and he's like, hey, pilots, he's just there. Like, I would have liked to have seen him doing that, but okay.
Marky Mark said, no way.
But anyway, he takes control. They have a big thing and they're chasing each other. A really fun action sequence. At the end of the day, one of them collapses and hits, I don't know what, it explodes. They shoot a cannonball at it, right?
Which I thought was a good little sequence. Yeah. I thought the cannonball thing was fun.
But the main thing is the bad guy ends up in the water, and then they drop a boat on her to kill her, which that was
correct.
A pretty good kill.
Yeah, that was a good one. So they're flying away, and you know, Mark had a choice. He could either save this backpack of gold or save Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
And of course, he kicks the backpack away, or it lets
that's
it fall.
How it happens. He throws the backpack of gold at the bad guy.
Oh,
who's trying
that's
to get
right.
Nathan, and that gets her in the water, and then Nathan
the ship snaps off.
Well, yeah, the chain is about to break, and then Nathan does a jump, and Sully catches him, and then the boat falls on her,
and then hits her in the face. What a way to go! So they're flying back, and you know, he said, and it's so crazy because this entire time, Tom Holland or Nathan Drake is like, no, you're a scumbag. And then at the end of this, he's like, Sully, you got a heart of gold. It's like, no, he doesn't.
Well, he just
happened to save you because he was looking in your puppy dog eyes.
Oh, but I mean, but the thing is that ruthless Sully, and maybe the Sully at the beginning of the movie that would screw everyone over, would have just said, nice knowing you, kid, and grab the gold. I mean, he did sacrifice what he came there for, and they're like, why don't we just go excavate that gold or whatever? And he's like, oh, that's the property of the Philippines now, and they've got the...
Which is what Tom has said before about Indiana Jones in 2021. Like, it wouldn't work, right? Because you can't go into another person's country and take their stuff.
Right, yeah. And so, you know? But I mean, that's why they're like, well... You know, if they found the treasure and no one knew about it, it's one thing. But when you drop it there and then you've got the Coast Guard or whatever their equivalent,
the Filipino government is
coming
quickly
to find
gaining.
It. Like,
yeah, right.
You're not taking it from them. So anyway, that's where it ends. But Nathan Drake starts pulling out gold bars from his pants. I don't know where he was storing all this.
And these and this one. And then we see Chloe like zipping along the coastline. And
that was good.
She realizes that she's been had, but like she's okay with it because it wasn't awful.
Well, it's her fault.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got to respect that, right?
And then the post-credit sequence, the one that I saw, I didn't realize there was a post-credit sequence.
You stayed for the post-graphical credit sequence, whatever you call that, the little mid-credits with the visuals. But
Which is interesting because I do have an app that will tell me like if there's something after the credits, and it said like after credits. That's the name of the app, actually. It says during credits, 97%. After credits, 0%, which is super interesting. We see, like, we find out that Sam is alive, and he's still writing postcards. In the game, I think in the last game, Sam is a character that we see a lot of. So they're hoping to bring Sam in, who, and obviously that's an actor that, that was just an extra because you never see his face.
It's I was going to say the same thing. It's like they completely hide his face. So if this movie makes enough money, they can maybe hire an actor you've heard of. And if not, right. if it makes just barely enough money to justify a sequel, they can get somebody cheap and they didn't promise you a big name.
You know who would be fun would be Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling like and Tom Holland as brothers would be kind of fun.
Yeah, I like Ryan Gosling. I think he could do really good in that role. Yeah.
So, Kevin, I didn't stay, and I didn't realize there was one. So well, what was the post-credits?
This was the big fan service for the people of the game. So we talked about how these characters are miscast, and they don't look anything like their counterparts, and especially Mark Wahlberg makes no sense. Well, in the very post-credits scene, they're in some little bar, and Nathan Drake's there, and he's about to get killed for whatever he's I can't remember the details, but he's about to get had by all these people that he's pissed off in this bar, and then all of a sudden Sully comes up to save the day with his gun and his Hawaiian shirt and his mustache.
Oh.
And he looks like the video game character looks, and then they do their little banter back and forth with Tom Holland's like, what's that thing on your face? And Mark Wahlberg says, oh, it's a mustache, you'll be able to grow one in a couple of years, you know, one of those kind of things.
Sure.
And but the best part of the whole thing was when they're walking away, Wahlberg turns and he has a backpack on, and out of the backpack comes that cat that Tom Holland bought him.
Oh,
and
okay.
Now he's like his best friend, Mr. Whiskers or something. Where there's just this throwaway gag in the movie where Tom Holland's like, I need this, and I need a cat. And Wahlberg's like, okay. And then he's like, oh, I got the cat for you. You seem lonely. And you never think about it again.
It's the guy's leg from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah.
I need that guy's leg.
So I thought that was good. One of the better parts of the movie is when the cat comes back and it's like, oh, I forgot about him. That's fun. And that's it.
Yeah, I think this was this was fun. I had a good time at it. I totally get that it's not perfect. I'm kind of a sucker for the National Treasure movies. So like this is like a lesser version of that. I wonder how long it's going to take before they try to combine Tomb Raider and Uncharted, because they're both Sony, right? So why not just throw them together?
Are they both made by the same company, though?
Not.
Like they're
not?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. This is Naughty Dog, and you see there's like a Naughty Dog sticker on Nathan Drake's chest, you know, whatever the drawer. What do you call that thing? A chest? Like a
chest.
Like, it's hard. When I say chest, you think like he has a chest tattoo. No, the chest. Like,
like a chest of...
Yeah, the trunk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So there's a Naughty Dog sticker there. Tomb Raider is Eidos?
But they're both Sony... license,
well, it doesn't
right?
matter. No. Sony is like Warner Brothers. It doesn't like.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just that's like saying
just because both shows air on NBC doesn't mean they're owned by the same company.
Right. Okay.
So no, you would have to. They're different companies. So I mean, they would have to create some kind of weird agreement. I don't know if they ever would do that. If you know, never say never.
Based on the box office, they could maybe agree to do that. Right.
Like, yeah, the Tomb Raider movie didn't do gangbusters either.
Yeah,
and the
exactly.
Tomb Raider movie was hands down better than this movie. I'll tell you that.
I would
right
agree
now.
With that. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the virtual table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So next week, are we subjecting Joe to yet another musical?
No. We're going to do Studio 66. Mm. 666. Which is the... No,
is that come out next the, week? I thought next... Because next week is also Cyrano.
Yeah.
Although, technically, Studio 666 would also be a musical.
Which I'm okay with. My favorite, almost my favorite band of all time. I will happily sit through a musical with
we'll
the
Foo
Fighters.
We'll have to discuss and figure that out.
Yes. So you'll have to wait to see how much... torture we want to subject Joe to. So anyway, that's it for this one. And because I forgot show shares, I also forgot to make an outro. So we're just going to have to go with until next time. You've been warned.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.